The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I suppose something like this happens every 4 years. Election Day is always the first Tuesday in November. And All Saints is always November 1st. I suppose if November 1st was on a Monday, we'd actually observe it the following Sunday. But that's giving into my obsessive compulsive interest in calendars, numbers, and time. With the juxtaposition of Election Day and All Saints gives us is the opportunity to think about the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of heaven. Or maybe the kingdom of the law and the kingdom of the gospel. And there are some solid doctrinal statements that we should remind ourselves of first. Both of these kingdoms have legitimate authority. Both of them are ordained by God. And if you don't like me saying that, we can review a few passages. The Creed reminds us that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. That was a terrible exercise of proper authority. But Jesus submitted himself to Pilate's authority. At the same time, he reminded Pilate that he would not have any authority had it not been given to him from above. The kingdom of the law and the kingdom of the heaven meeting. The law had proper authority, and that law would sentence Jesus to death. But the kingdom of heaven also had its authority. The authority of the Word of God. And the Word reminded Pilate that he was under that authority also. And that the kingdom of heaven also rendered its judgment. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. But Pilate, while maybe not the greater sin, was still in the midst of sin, abusing his authority. Paul talks about this in Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that have exist have been instituted by God. And what is the purpose of that authority? It's wielding the sword against the evildoer. The Apostle Peter reflects the same thing. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Now that law, that good and evil, that our temporal authorities are charged with keeping, is best understood as the eternal law of the Ten Commandments. And it's here that we might best understand the interplay between the kingdoms. The kingdom of the law is not exercised by God directly. It's always exercised by us fallen humans. Humans like Pilate. Humans like popes and presidents. Humans right down to school boards, elder boards, and voters. All of those are tasked with exercising the authority that's been given to them in the best possible way for the love of God and for the good of their neighbor. And we have different ideas of what those are. Some of those ideas are just wrong and clearly against the Ten Commandments. But many of the ideas of various states and bodies are just exercises in wisdom. Exercises that time and experience will show the level of wisdom used. The kingdom of heaven, contrary to those kingdoms of the law, is exercised directly by God. Wherever you hear the word proclaimed or the sacraments administered rightly, there you find the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, whose purpose is not curbing sin or curbing wickedness, but its purpose is the justification and sanctification of sinners. And that may be done through the means of the word and the sacraments. And it's Christ's act directly. He sends us the Holy Spirit where he has promised him to be. Where two or three are gathered, where we do this in remembrance of him. And our life right now is lived in both of these kingdoms. Now, it's usually here where I get to my least American. Because under the law, I will be held accountable to God for how I exercise whatever authority I have been entrusted with. When I go into that voting booth, I have a duty as a citizen to my fellow citizens. I have a duty to the best of my wisdom to vote according to the word of God. And dodging it by not voting is like Pilate washing his hands of it. That's the big difference between a citizen and a subject. A subject of a monarch or a prince bears no responsibility for his decisions. A citizen bears moral responsibility. However slight it might be based upon one vote, it is not nothing. And we all know that our voting decisions, especially in our polarized environments, will often move other decisions and other things that we do in actions. As much as I might be fine not accepting that responsibility, it is ours. So we have a Christian duty to exercise it, to pray for appropriate guidance, and to vote. And then trust more in the grace and providence of Christ, that all things will work out for the good of his people. Which is where I want to turn from our upcoming exercise in the kingdom of the law to our hope of the kingdom of heaven. There's a day where the kingdom of heaven comes in its fullness. On that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord. And we no longer have to worry about governments of pilots or us, governments made from the crooked timber of humanity. For Christ himself is king and the perfectly sanctified shall sit on every throne. And what that looks like is quite different from those who typically bear the sword. The kingdoms of this world are about hype and turnout. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The world forgets you the second you are no longer useful. Blessed are those who mourn. Fortune favors the bold. Blessed are the meek. Maintaining a strategic ambiguity is important for rule. Machiavelli is wise in the ways of this world. Claim the moral high ground, regardless of what the law says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Reward your friends and punish your enemies. Or as Conan the Barbarian might say, what is best in this world? In the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the merciful. The last thing the world wants is for everything it does to be brought into the light. But the pure in heart shall see God. War is the health of the state. Blessed are the peacemakers. The children of the world are free to live and operate by their wisdom. And it is that crooked wisdom, that wisdom of the way of fallen hearts, that we who live under both kingdoms, are not completely free. We are part of that kingdom of heaven right now. And we are called to live to the extent that we can by the way of that kingdom's king, which in this world is the way of the cross. But the way of the cross is the only way that lasts. the saints at rest. Those who we remember today already know this. We saints militant live by faith. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom. Both of us, both those saints at rest and we who still struggle, await that triumph. When the crooked ways are cast outside, when we are reclothed with the resurrection body, when the King of Glory passes on his way, and the new heavens and the new earth are blessed, blessed in our sight, and not just by faith. Amen.